with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. So it's Tuesday night. Can't slip anything past me. And the saga of Deadeye Dick Cheney continues. And it gets sadder, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Do we begin to understand exactly why it took, 22 hours for anybody to tell Dear Leader that Deadeye Dick had shot another human being? Yeah, it becomes a little easier to understand, doesn't it? Yeah, it certainly does. Because, as it turns out, this wasn't just... I mean, we were, you know, they used phrases like peppered. You know, he was peppered.
He got peppered pretty good, that Whittington did. He was peppered.
No, the man was damn near mortally wounded. That's what he was. And any other description is, yeah, it's a fraud. And it is patently dishonest. We find out today from the hospital in Corpus Christi that, in fact, they had to perform a cardiac catheterization on the guy. And no matter how much they can use Sanjay Gupta to try to make it sound as though, well, you know, a cardiac catheterization, that's nothing. Nah, that's not nothing. That's still invasive, and it's still very, very serious. So, that being the case, one wonders just exactly what constitutes something worth worrying about to the White House. Yeah, I know. They don't worry about 100,000 dead Iraqi civilians. They don't care about little children blown into their constituent parts. No, hell no. But, I mean, this was a multimillionaire donor to the Republican Party that Dick Cheney shot. And they say that one of the pieces of shot, one of those many, many, many pieces of shot, apparently, that hit him in the torso, in the shoulders, in the neck, in the face, migrated. That's the word they're using, migrating. Just like it's one of those little migrating quail, I guess. One of those pieces of shot migrated to his heart and embedded in the musculature of the heart and created something that, you know, you just gotta love these people. It created a mild heart attack. It created a minor heart attack. I didn't know there was such a thing, quite honestly, as a mild heart attack. Generally, when you hear the phrase heart attack, mild isn't one of the words you hang out there in front of it. No. Dangerous heart attack, scary heart attack, life-threatening heart attack. Now, major heart attack, when you hear major heart attack, that means, you know, the dude died. So this was a mild one. Oh, the media spin has just been disgusting today. Early in the day. Now, you know, we discussed this last night. It's a 28-gauge shotgun. Now, they're not all that out there. Not a lot of people use them, but apparently some do. 28-gauge shotgun. I have no idea what the shell for a 28-gauge shotgun looks like. Except it's got to be somewhat larger than a 410 by definition, doesn't it? At any rate, a 28-gauge shotgun. And by the time ABC News got done with it this morning, You know, you got to wonder who makes the phone calls from the White House to ABC News. By the time ABC News got done with it this morning, Mr. Whittington had been shot with a, and I quote, pellet gun. A pellet gun. Now, I know from pellet guns because, you know, Christmas and my son, Santa, brought him a BB gun, you know, a Daisy Red Rider. With a telescope and a compass in the stock.
Yeah, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. You'll shoot your donor out, dick.
No, this was not a pellet gun. It was a firearm. Pellet guns are air rifles. This was a shotgun. But not to ABC News. Oh, no, hell no. It was a pellet gun.
It was just a toy. They weren't even really trying to kill the quails. They were just scaring them a little bit.
And you find out if you... I know. This is a day old now, but I'm still somewhat fascinated by it. Catherine Armstrong soundbite. Listen to Catherine Armstrong describing the event.
I am one of the owners, along with my family, of this ranch, and I want to tell you all what happened yesterday afternoon about 5:30. We were here on the Armstrong Ranch hunting bobwhite quail. We were shooting a covey of quail. The vice president and two others got out of the car to
walk up the covey. Let me see if I can back that up just a little bit. What did the vice president do?
We were shooting a covey of quail. The vice president and two others got out of the car to walk up the covey.
They got out of the car to walk up the covey. Now, I don't know about anywhere else, but here in wild, wonderful West Virginia, we refer to that as road hunting. And it's about as low as you can go in this state, short of running dogs on deer. Now, I know other states do, but we don't allow dogs to be run on deer, and road hunting is patently illegal in this state. And I've seen, you know, I've seen people do it. You know, the old rattly pickup truck go down the road, and a couple of does will be out in the field grazing. Dude just leans out the window. Usually it's a 30-30. Leans out the blam and drives on. It's not about, you know, it's not about bringing meat home. It is about the slaughter. It is about the indiscriminate pleasure that some truly, truly sick individuals take in the act of killing. So that is what Dick Cheney was doing. He was road hunting. They drove up. You know, I'm sorry. I've got this utterly provincial notion of what it means to hunt upland game birds, for which it turns out Dick Cheney did not have his license stamp. And he only got a warning. He got a warning from the game warden for that. He was warned. Now, you get your upland game stamp next year, young man. A warning. You, me, anybody else didn't have our upland game birds under the jail. And I don't care what the Texas game warden's office. Well, you know, we're warning everyone this year because the law is only 5 or 6 months old. This is the White House. I mean, they've spent $1.6 billion on public relations and advertising in the last couple of years. And they don't have anybody in that entire White House and vice presidential staff over there at the Naval Observatory, the vice presidential reference. They don't have anybody there who can dial up someone in Texas and say, you know, listen, the vice president wants to come down and blast the living bejesus out of a few little bobwhite quail. We'll be doing it on a private preserve. These are going to be pen-fed birds that don't know which way to fly. They've never lived in the wild or anything like that. What all do we need? I mean, do we need a license, right?
Well, yeah.
Yes, sir, that's right. You need your license. Is there anything else that we need? Well, you'll be needing your upland game bird stamp. Well, to hell with that. This is Dick Cheney.
That's the way these people operate. So they were warned. They were warned. And they got out of their car and went to jump a covey of quail. Well, let's let Catherine, what's her name, do it.
And the birds flushed. Mr. Whittington, who was one of the guests, made a very good shot on two birds, actually, and he went over about 100 to 150 yards away from the other two hunters to go find his bird, which is good hunting protocol. He was over there.
Okay, 100 to 150 yards he went to go and get his birds, which is good hunting protocol. Do the math real quick. That is 300 to 450 feet. I mean, put this together. I'm trying to image this up in my mind as to how it happened. Now, it was very cute on The Daily Show last night, and I think Countdown with Keith Olbermann also used the old duck hunt game, where they blasted someone in the course of playing duck hunt as a reenactment. But I cannot for the life of me come up with an image to make this work. Let's go to the phones, see who we've got. I'm manning the station this evening until Agnes gets done serving out dinner. Hey, you're head on. Who have I got?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Hey. Are you on? I didn't want to get on air.
Well, you're on air.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, because Agnes is still getting dinner together.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just wanted to wish her a happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you very much, and the same going back to your lovely Glenda.
Huh?
And the same going back to your lovely wife.
Oh, Glenda, she got some hearts and flowers. Flowers today, because, they don't have good flowers up here anymore. Anyway, I want to say you're right on target, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you kind of come from where they do a little bird hunting.
Oh, good God, Bob.
Well,
you don't
I mean,
bird hunting for nothing.
Yeah, okay, so
I hunt a pheasant with a .22, and I don't take no thing other than an eye. And I've done it at 144 paces.
My
That's
God.
Far away. No, I hunt it with a .22. But the only reason I do it is I love watching them out here in the fall in the spring when they get out there and they're in the rut.
Yeah.
And them birds, oh, God, it's wonderful. I watch them in my yard.
Well, they're pretty tasty eating, too.
Well, I don't.
I mean, that's what we always did when we went hunting. Bring it home and eat it.
When I do thin the flock, okay, I give them to my son, Michael.
Uh-huh.
Loves to eat them.
Well, you've obviously got the experience here, Bob. I'm sure that people in the audience would like to hear a little bit, because, like I said, I'm trying to put together a mental image of how this thing with Cheney happens, and I can't make it work.
No. No, no, you never, okay. I have hunted human beings in a jungle.
Yeah.
Not birds, but human beings.
Sure.
In a jungle. And it was not pleasant.
No.
But it was our duty. Okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, we did it as a duty. That was our job. And the thing is, those human beings in the jungle were not the enemy. The enemy of this nation wears a suit.
Yeah.
And sits on, what is that, K Street?
Yeah, K Street. But Bob, let me back you up. Let me back you up just a second, because there are people, there are people who live in cities. I take things for granted. You take things for granted. We're country people.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no videotape. There is no official report. There is no official anything of how Dick Cheney could turn and fire on another human being while quail hunting. And a lot of people are trying to figure out how it is that that happened.
Bob?
Yeah?
If you are a hunter, a true hunter, okay?
Yeah.
What is behind you, okay? It is not a target. It doesn't matter which way the bird flies. It really doesn't. If the bird flies at you, if it's at 12, you can shoot it. If it's at 1 o'clock, which is behind you, you can't shoot it. You cannot. No, if the bird's straight up from you, you can shoot straight up.
Yeah.
But you can't shoot. But from that, okay, you got positions in front of you. And if you're in a hunting party, everybody knows their position. No one can shoot beyond that 1 o'clock position in front of them.
Yeah,
or the 10 o'clock position.
Yeah, that's what I always wear.
It's like a clock.
Yeah, 11 to 1.
11 to 1. Yeah. Okay. Well, I always said 10 to 1 because, you know, goodness gracious, I didn't want to get it before that.
Yeah.
But no, the thing is, if you're hunting with other people, your partners, the people you're hunting with, they are a priority. Game is not. You're not out there for game.
Well, and that's
you're not out there to kill.
Right. That's
you're
what that's what I'm trying to.
Anything.
That's what I'm trying to sort out for people here a little bit, and for myself too, Bob.
No, you're out there for the sport of it. You're out there for the enjoyment of the people that are with you.
Right.
Okay. You're there for them.
This guy was
for yourself.
This guy was shot from roughly the bottom of the rib cage up to his face. What does that say? What does that?
He had a heart attack today.
Yeah, but what does that say about where Cheney was aiming the daggum gun?
Yeah.
I mean, quiet. You know,
it was ground level. Good
yeah.
God, Bob, you can't. You know, the man might be 6 feet tall. He might be 12 feet tall, but he's not aiming. He swung the gun around 180 degrees, or 360. I don't know where the man was standing.
Well, no, we don't. But okay. this woman describing the accident, the ranch owner,
she says the guy had gone
out 450 feet to pick up his prey.
No, no man drives down my road, sticks his gun out the window, and shoots a bird. Oh, tell him about...
Well, she says they got out of the car and went to flush the cubby, and then Whittington shot and walked out 450 feet to pick up his birds.
Oh, yeah.
And he was coming back when Cheney shot him. And yet there's all this business about he shot him behind him. I mean, this is nothing but a great raft of lies.
Did you hear that Cheney, the guy that Cheney shot, got a double?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a double.
That's some nice wing shooting.
Yeah. Whatever, but the man outshot Cheney.
Yeah.
And so Cheney wanted to outshoot him, so he turned around and shot him. That's the way I see it. It was, you know, the guy went to pick up his bird. No, that didn't happen. No, it didn't. Because either you got dogs with you or you don't. If you don't have dogs with you, you ain't hunting.
Well, see, you know,
not
this is
birds.
Yeah, this is a private ranch and everything, Bob. So,
no, that's not hunting, Bob.
No, it's not. You get it. You know, you get. I mean, done it. I've done it. It's a long walk.
Never hunted tame birds.
Now I know, but I mean, you know, that's what I'm saying. You get out, you walk. I mean, you spend all day at it. You don't get in the car and go down to the next little pile of brush and blast into the brush.
I've seen hunters come out here, and they knock on the door, and they ask if they can hunt. And I tell them where to hunt and how to hunt. I tell them the birds will be here at such and such a time.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out here, and you'll flush them. But do it this way, right?
Yeah.
But they got their own idea about it, okay?
Yeah.
And so they always go. I've seen them go out here. I've had these what I call them is citified hunters, okay?
Yeah.
Like the Dick Cheneys and those people, they're citified. They don't listen to nobody who lives on the land. They always listen to whatever they're going to do. And they come. I've watched them go out here and beat the brush. And I've watched coveys. I mean, I've watched huge flocks of pheasant fly away from them. And I know exactly where they're going.
Yeah.
And they just can't get it in their head that if they just, okay, in the first place, I've seen guys come out here and walk with their dogs through this tangle we got out here, and the bird just lay down, and the dog can come right up and sniff the bird. The bird won't move.
Right.
So the dog goes on, and the hunter follows him. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes after they leave, they get back in their trucks and drive away, I watch the birds, and they fly over here into my yard, and they sit here pecking gravel out of the road.
And you're talking about ringneck pheasants at this point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, ringneck. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, you're talking regular ringneck pheasants.
Now these things that Cheney was apparently killing, those are pen-raised quail.
They're quail.
Bobwhite quail.
You're talking California quail here. You're talking small birds. I hunted them when I was at Pendleton. I used to go out and I took a group out one time, and I was a sergeant, and they were young. Young Marines, and I took them out into Pendleton hunting quail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there were about five of us at a party. I took them out in my car. We drove up into the hills, and I took them out there into Pendleton. Now, Pendleton is a Marine Corps base that most people have no idea how it is laid out, but I know every inch of it.
Sure.
And I took them out there in the hills hunting quail, and I had this young, I think he was a Lance Corporal time, with me. And he was such a hunter and all this stuff, and he had a shotgun and kept it in the armory and took him out for the weekend. So I said, okay, fine. And I got mine out of my closet because I was a sergeant. I lived in base housing. I had my own shotgun.
Yeah.
So we went out. This kid, like Cheney, swung his gun. No, we're walking online, okay? And mm-hmm. I'd explain to him how, you know, what the...
Almost like a skirmish line.
Yeah. Well, I told him, you know, where their area of responsibility was. A bird flew up in front of us. It came right across and in front of me. And I was bringing my gun up, and I saw that this kid had swung, and he was hit. His gun was coming from my head. I hit the deck. I got up, and I told that squad, I said, unload those weapons, put the rounds or the shells, the shot shells in your pocket, get in my car, do not hesitate. The hunt is over. You are going home, and if any man in this squad ever swings a gun on another fellow Marine, part of his anatomy that is not attached to the back of his head, but it's to the back of his body, ever swings another weapon on another Marine, he will pay for it. And the thing is, Cheney swung a weapon on a fellow hunter. And not only did he swing it on him, he discharged it into his face, his chest, his shoulder, his arm, and the man may not survive. We do not know.
No, we don't.
So, no man.
He's in intensive care.
Whether, huh?
He's in intensive care.
I know he is. He's got shot pellets running around in his body yet, Pop.
Yeah.
Those pellets are poison.
Yeah, they're lead.
They are poison. And they may kill him yet. So, no man that hunts with me has ever. No, that kid, I took,
well, what about, let me ask you, Bob, what about this 28-gauge shotgun?
Oh, yeah, Bob does. I'm glad to ask if you knew that the fellow hunter was in serious condition. He's in life-threatening condition because of what that, I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know Agnes was off.
No, it's okay. I thought about you last night as we were discussing this, because if anybody is going to know about hunting upland game birds, I thought, you know, by God, Bob in North Dakota will know.
Oh, we hunt them all the time up here, Bob. Like I told you, I do not use a shotgun because it's unfair. It is unfair. I use a 22 rifle.
Now, do you use that 20? I mean, can you get them on the wing with that 22?
No, Bob.
I was gonna say. I mean, that's better than tossing the tin cans up in
the
air.
No. Okay.
With the 22, you ground hunt them.
Okay, forgive me. I don't hunt them. I snipe them, okay?
Okay.
I wait till they stick their heads up and look around.
If
I miss, the bird flies.
Right. Well, here in West Virginia, a lot of my southern buddies are a little bit mystified. Here in West Virginia, it's legal to go hunting in spring gobbler season with a rifle gun.
Oh. Yeah, well, this is a little different. It really is. You'd have to come to hunt up here, and I'd have to teach you how to do it because it isn't something that's simple. It's kind of like, did you ever teach your son to hammer nails at maybe 30 yards or 30 paces?
We haven't gotten there yet.
With a 22.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, but you put them in a board, 2x4.
Yeah.
And then you put these 10-penny nails, and you put them in there, and you hammer a nail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you can hammer a nail at 30 paces, then you move them back to 40 paces. And then you move them back to 50 paces, and then to 60 and 80 and 100. And when he can nail or hammer a nail at 150 paces, then he can shoot a pheasant in the eye at 150 paces. My best shot is 144.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I'm an old man. But I'm not so stupid as to ever swing a gun on a hunting partner of mine or a fellow Marine.
Well, that's what's driving me absolutely batty out of all this, Bob. I've done it. I love wing shooting.
Yeah, I know. I've done some wing shooting.
And I cannot make this work in my tiny mind.
No, Bob, you do not have a tiny mind. That's your problem.
I can't.
If you had a tiny mind, you would be like,
I'd just do what Rush Limbaugh says. Well, you know, these things happen. No, they don't just happen.
Scotty, the duck,
yeah,
has a tiny little mind, okay?
Yeah.
And so does Rush, I won't say it because there's too much hatred here.
But I've thought back and thought back and thought back because I think it's a human thing that we try to compare what we hear with our own experience.
If you're really... Okay, if you're in tune with nature, okay, the first thing I realize, okay, when the fall comes and the hunters come and they try to get the birds and they don't get the birds and they don't get the birds, and I got 50 roosters, not 10, but I got 50,
mm-hmm.
And every one of those roosters will take care of 5 hens.
Right.
But if the winter comes and it gets harsh out here at times, if the winter comes and we have heavy snow, the roosters will push the hens out of cover. And they will, you know, so you got to thin the flock. You got to cut down the roosters.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's a lot of guys that come out here. They're really, really good at it. And they go out and they clean up a few. But they never get them all. And when the city hunters come, they got their guns out the window, their dogs, they drop them off at my driveway, and they start heading down the road. And I just get the pickup and chase them down and ask them, I can run my dog anywhere, he said. Yeah? Why are you running them? This is hunting time. You don't just drop your dog off and start driving down the road unless you're Dick Cheney. You just don't, because you're road hunting, boy. And if you're rote, and then they'll get out of the truck. Well, I was going to go down this here cut here, and I was going to walk. You know, I was, and I wait there, and I just stand there, and I just watch them go down there, and they're cussing me all the time. Well, I can do whatever I want to do. No, you can't, because the law says if you're hunting from the road, if you're driving down the road and getting out of your, or chasing the birds up and then getting out, you ain't hunting, boy. You is road hunting, and that is illegal. As it is in West Virginia.
It's as sleazy there as it is here.
It's as illegal anywhere because you don't drive to hunt. You get out and hunt, or you do like I do. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't hunt, Bob. I stick a gun out the window and snipe.
I understand.
And there's a difference between sniping and hunting.
Sure.
Okay?
I understand that. And that's that, you know, I bear no love for these people in this administration. But this is something that really goes to my core and everything that I was taught about how to do it right and how to do it in the wild. And, you know, a few hundred miles away in Mexico, people go and hunt quail, you know, that aren't pen-raised, and there's no limit, and they can bring them down by the hundreds in a day.
But you said the right word, Bob. And I'll let you go on this one.
Okay.
You were taught to do it right. And you, no, not, you were taught to do it correct. You were taught to do it within the law. You were taught to do it above board, without the lies, without the spin, without all this, you know, you weren't lying, son. You just went out there and did it correctly. And I hate to say right, because I have gotten to the point, Bob, where the word right to me sounds like Reich. You know, like Third Reich, the Fourth Reich.
Yeah, I've gotten to where I refer to Republicans as the wrong wing, not the right wing.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about with the language there.
Anyway,
Bob, I do appreciate the input because I can sit here and run my mouth all day long.
Well,
but you live in upland bird country, and that means something.
Bob, we got big cat up here. I'm talking what they call mountain lion.
Oh yeah.
We got them up here. I got a friend took one down here in the Badlands this last fall. But we got cat up here, and people says, well, you don't got no cat in Dakota. Well, they ain't been. They don't live here. They just got ideas about. I met a guy on a train. I was going on down to Fargo. Riding on that there Amtrak, and I met this fellow from up there, or up in Montana, and he was a cat hunter up there. We got to talking about cats. You know, you're not talking alley cats or kitty cats. You're talking puma or cougar or mountain lion, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And we got talking about them, and we knew what we were talking about. We're coming back, riding back toward Williston, and we got this guy from Chicago. And he was talking about, they got them wild Indians out there, don't they? Them, you know, because he had this idea. He was growed up in Chicago that anywhere west of, I guess, the Missouri or Mississippi, that we still had these wild Indians that lived out here in a plain.
Oh, God.
And so this guy and I were kidding him. You know what a round bale looks like, 750 to a
pound? Sure.
The round bale of hay. And so we told them, well, you know, these Indians, when they're, you know, getting ready to attack the train, they get these here, the blinds, they're like blinds, and they roll up these big balls of hay, and they put it along the tracks, and then they wait for the train to go by, and they shoot their arrows at it, and then they attack the train. And we knew we were coming. We would eventually go by a hayfield, and this guy went nuts. He says, "Oh my God, there they are! They're out there!" You know, because he didn't understand one whit about what he was talking about. He's kind of like a Sean Hannity, or that other boy up there. That the one I'd like to just go in there and jap slap that. What's his name?
O'Reilly?
It's that O'Reilly fella.
Yeah.
That Bill boy. But anyway, I better let you go because I ate up too much of your time.
No, not at all. I appreciate the information. I'm sure everybody else does too, Bob, because
I don't know if it makes a difference. I just wish
somebody has to open
their doggone eyes.
Well, somebody's got to talk from reality here, and that's all we're trying to do, Bob.
Open their eyes. Just look for something other than what you're being told. I mean, I can tell you a whole lot of stuff, but until you get up here and hunt like I hunt, or I don't hunt, but my boy hunts, he goes out there and he loves chasing them around.
Yeah.
But he's young, and I'm I'm beyond that. I don't go out there, and I can't understand how they got such an old man out there with a gun.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an entirely separate topic.
Yeah, we'll talk about it another time.
All right, you take care, Bob.
Get somebody else on the line because I have used you up.
Nah,
as usual.
I got plenty left where that came from,
my
Bob.
My love to you and Agnes and Glenda Sensors and William Sensors, and we are here anytime you need it.
All right, thanks so much, Bob. You take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Maybe I'm making a little bit more out of this than what ought to be made. But I still remember in 2000 when George Bush came to the Raleigh County Armory here in West Virginia and told everybody there that Al Gore's going to get your guns. And Charlton Heston, you can have my guns when you pry them from my cold dead fingers, you dirty ape. I remember that. I believe that your average redneck who voted for George Bush did so because he was conned, okay? He was conned with the God, guns, gays, big rocks thing. But I know this much. You take a hunting type here in West Virginia or anywhere throughout the South or the Midwest, and you ask them about it, and they're like me. They're like Bob. Do it right. Do it according to the law for the most part. And somewhere along the way, we're going to hear, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but we're going to hear from some of these right-wing type hunters. Granted, I wouldn't throw a bucket of water on him if he was on fire, but what would Ted Nugent say about this? He's a big slaughterer. He's a right-wing freak. And he's all about how you got to do the hunting the right way. He's hell's bells. He's a bow hunter, for God's sakes. Not a gun hunter for the most part. These guys road hunted, got up, walked to a piece of brush. I didn't hear her say anything. This Catherine, for God's sakes, what's her name? Catherine Armstrong. I didn't say her. I didn't hear her say a word about dogs. Now, usually you've got some sort of a bird dog out there, because it is in its own form. If it's something you're into, it's a beautiful thing to behold. Watching a bird dog get on the scent and go and find that covey or that lone bird. And go on point, and you go up, and you flush it, and it flies away, and, you do what you're there to do. None of that. Kurt Gowdy's American Sportsman. Remember that? None of that stuff happened in this instance. Any hunter, to hear these right-wing, inexperienced idiots talk about this. Now, wow, happens all the time. Bug spray. It only happens where you've got someone who does not use good hunting technique and has no business with a gun. Remember the fact that Dick Cheney is in possession of how many? Yeah, that's right, 5 military draft deferments. Do you think finally we've got a compelling argument for the fact that maybe if he had done his duty when his nation called him and gone to Vietnam, if he survived, that he would have learned to handle a firearm? I read another account somewhere today about a duck hunting expedition with him over on the Maryland shore. And talking about the fact that the people, that by the end of the day, the people who went with duck hunting with Dick, you try saying that several times and see if you don't get in trouble, huh? The people who went duck hunting with Dick were absolutely terrified by the day's end. I think the phrase I read was, he is a maniac with a gun in his hands. I mean, George Bush has Secret Service people that ride bicycle with him. They're so worried about him. and they're turning this crazy old dude loose with a firearm? No, ABC News, I'm sorry, it's not a pellet gun, it's a firearm. I'm astonished by the whole process. And like I said, I can't make it work. Let's go back to Ms. Armstrong, Catherine Armstrong. Let's get the rest of the details again.
Diligently for a bird he had not found yet, and indicated to the other hunters to go on and shoot a second covey that was about 150 yards away. The vice president and the other hunter walked towards the other covey while Mr. Whittington stayed behind to look for his bird.
Okay.
And in the meantime, as the vice president and the other hunter approached the second covey, Mr. Whittington decided to try to join them. And he came up from behind the other two hunters and unfortunately did not announce to the other two hunters that he was there and trying to join the line, as we call it. So the vice president...
Now wait. Do you hear all the traffic in the background? Again, I can't say diddly. Now, that's a highfalutin legal term, diddly. I can't say diddly about what the law is in the state of Texas. For all I know, you can road hunt down there. You can hunt quail with grenade launchers in Texas. It wouldn't surprise me. Because, you know, Texas is Texas, and you know, proud individualism, and we need to kill quail with grenades. I don't know. But this whole description is something going on by the side of the road. By the side of the road. And most states have laws that say you cannot discharge a firearm from a vehicle or within X number of feet of a roadway or across a roadway. The fact of the matter is, all of this stuff was held back. It was held back to keep it from hitting the Sunday morning blab fest. That's pretty obvious. But it was also held back to try and get the story straight, and they still can't do it. This business with Catherine Armstrong. This description about how, now you fellas go on, I'll catch up, I'm going to get my birds over here. And somehow they start off going in a hunting line away from the road. They can't be shooting across the road or toward the road. I'm sorry, this may be turning into something along the lines of CSI. I kind of mean for it to. Because, yeah, I'm speculating at this point, but it's all we've got. They won't give us any daggum facts. There's no... Did the Corpus Christi Hospital follow state and federal law with regard to the reportage of gunshot wounds? There are certain things that you have to do when anybody, even if he is the victim of the Vice President of the United States, the first man to be shot by a Vice President since Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton, even if he's that, when he comes into the emergency room with a gunshot wound, not a pellet gun wound, a gunshot wound, there are certain reporting requirements. Law enforcement has to be notified. Were they? Not as far as I can tell. This thing has as many holes in it as a great big old ancient Swiss cheese. And what do we get from the right? These people who say, you know, y'all, you can trust, you know, my friends, y'all, all you'll get is left-wing liberal spin. I don't want any spin. I have been in my life a person who hunts upland game birds. I know how the gig works. And I want somebody in the White House or the Vice President's staff to come out and lay... This is a... They owe it to their base. They owe it to the NRA. They owe it to the dudes that drive all over the South and the Midwest with gun racks in their pickup trucks and Confederate flags. They owe it to these people. to tell them how it is that this came about. Because, you know, they were voted for in part. Well, you know, Dick Cheney's a big hunter. Do you remember when the United Mine Workers gave John Kerry a beautiful, beautiful firearm at the Labor Day rally in Racine, West Virginia? Do you remember that? I do. And Dick Cheney made fun of him. Made fun of John Kerry. John Kerry, to the best of my knowledge, has never shot anyone while hunting. And, the Flush Flemball says, you can go for a car ride with Ted Kennedy or you can go hunting with Dick Cheney. At least Dick Cheney will take you to the hospital. What a load of crap. Simple question. Does the American people do the American people deserve a full and fair accounting of what happened Saturday afternoon somewhere in Texas when the Vice President of the United States shot another human being? It's not that complex an inquiry. Well, okay, let's try Ms. Armstrong one more time.
And the other hunter believed that Mr. Whittington was probably about 200 yards away at that time, still back there looking for the bird, and when in fact he was about 30 yards and a little behind the line. A bird flushed. The vice president took aim at the bird and shot, and unfortunately, Mr. Whittington was in the line of fire and got peppered pretty well.
Do you believe any of that? I don't believe it worth a tinker's damn. And again, it's one of those, anybody who's ever done this sort of thing understands that that's almost physically impossible. The guy was behind Cheney, and Cheney took aim and fired? First of all, he had to, if we're assuming flat topography, he had to be shooting straight out, not up where a bird goes. And what's more, he had to turn He had to turn more than 90 degrees from square. And that old dude can't do that without somebody getting the oil can out. None of this makes any sense at all. Let's go to the phones. Peter is with us from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm doing a heck of a lot better. I'm all well and twice as evil and at least three times meaner.
Well, you know, I think we need that.
And, I guess I had my head under the covers for a couple of days not feeling well, so I missed a lot of this. But, you know, Bob, you can try to explain this stuff and figure it out logically. You know, you can try for the rest of your life, dude, but it's just not going to happen. All it was a couple of old drunk coots out in the woods shooting.
Don't forget the babe.
Well, the babe, I don't know. Maybe she was there for hormonal therapy. Who knows? But the thing is that, you know, you just have to figure out why else in the hell would you wait 22 hours before before even reporting it? Why else turn away the police? I mean, but alcohol levels go down pretty fast. You can track that pretty easily.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have said, "Well, we don't know if he drinks." I've heard it on the various shows. I've been trying to catch up today, but you know, how else? Look at it logically. How else could you live? How else could a hateful old troll like that live with himself unless he drank? A deceitful, backstabbing, evil doing piece of garbage. I won't go any further. I'm sure I'll say all the wrong words, but, you know, it's just a couple old drunk coots in the woods shooting at each other. And, you know, inhibitions go down, he whirled around and pulled the trigger. I mean, it's no more complicated than that. I mean, when you add alcohol to the situation, it makes sense.
Yeah, and see, that's just, I mean, that's what I was talking about, Peter. Now, you know, when the hunt's over and you got the boots off and you're, you know, got your feet propped up on the wagon wheel coffee table and, you know, you're drinking pork chops in a can 12 ounces at a time, okay, but liquor and firearms. I'm not up for it. I'm not taking cards in that game.
Oh, and it's just to be expected. It's just to be expected. And you know, who was the judge who was out in a fishing excursion with Cheney a while back? I wonder he didn't get shot too, or at least knocked unconscious with a paddle. There were no doubt there out the lake. Tipping and fishing and barking at the moon, you know.
I forget where I read it, but this notion that on this duck hunt on the Maryland shore, you know, and that was the line I read, that Cheney is a maniac with a gun.
I agree. It you know.
Well, how old is he?
Well, he's got 5 deferments. You know, the man has no clue. I grew up in the South. You grew up in the South. Everybody I know hunts. Everybody. Every
yeah.
brother-in-law I've got, every relative.
And I really want some redneck Bush voting explanations for this behavior.
Well, you know, they're not going to admit it, but there isn't any, except they were just on their butts drunk. It's the only thing that mixes in to make any of it make any sense whatsoever.
Well,
you know,
I keep coming back to this Cherche La Femme thing. When they won't give you facts, all you can do, like I said, is speculate and play conspiracy theory. What if it was the Swiss Miss who shot the dude?
Oh, now that's interesting. What if she couldn't
and
make it?
And Cheney is taking the rap.
Oh, and it could be planned. Now, that's a good point, Bob. It could be a little Republican plan there that, you know, Cheney can get away with it. He's not answerable to anybody or anything.
Yeah, but we can't have the ambassador to Switzerland blowing away multimillionaire Texas trial lawyers.
Oh, that's too funny. Or what if it was the old babe that had it with him?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
We don't know.
And the Secret Service saw everything, and they won't, and they're not talking.
No, they're not talking. Either.
This is symptomatic, Peter, of a federal government that has run absolutely awry. This is the same kind of lawlessness that leads to domestic spying. This is the same kind of lawlessness that leads to everything that they've done, making up stuff to go to war.
Well, this is true.
It's all part of the same process.
It's true, and it's like that little list of quotes that you read last night, or little fun quips. The bottom line on this is going to be that the real Americans, they're not going to want to know anything more about this. It's just them damn liberals. It's them subversives.
Ignorance is patriotic, brother.
That's right. The true Americans will stand up behind the vice president and support him, and they're not going to be. They didn't understand that he was telling the truth.
Oh my God!
Oh.
And what who handles this? I mean, granted, he's a multimillionaire. I understand he can pay for the hospital bill. But I mean, there are all kinds of issues that arise out of this: issues of liability, issues of criminal culpability. And it's all just going to be swept under the rug. And the best way to try to understand this all in context, Peter, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is to ask yourself, what if Al Gore did that under Bill Clinton?
Stars. Oh, my stars.
What if John Edwards, during the 2004 campaign, had done that as Kerry's running mate?
Oh, Lord.
Would we sit patiently by and say, well, you know, it's just a hunting accident. These things happen.
Well, yes. You know, Bob, we're all so fed up with that. We're so fed up with that double standard. It's just enough to make you sick. But, you know, it seems more so every day the wheels are coming off the wagon, and more Republicans are objecting to this sort of thing. And I hope to God that... that we find that this year that we're at the end of what we have to tolerate, because my God, we as the true Americans who believe in what this country was founded on, we've We've all had it. Well, I don't think we could take too much more.
I honest to God, I don't either, Peter. It astonishes me that we're willing to. And again, the long list. We sit back and tolerate this. These people are in a mindset where they think that the American people will tolerate any blessed thing they choose to do.
Well, I agree.
I mean, the one thing I'm still waiting for, Peter, is for Scott McClellan to come out and say, well, thank God that the vice president shot him when he did, because that way he was in a hospital when he got his heart attack.
Yeah, well, I will stand by it. Till the day I die, I will stand by that I fully believe the man was drunk and that they both drink. And the reason I believe that is because you cannot behave that way and you cannot be dismissive of the functioning of America and that cavalier toward the rights of human beings without self-medicating. Just damn well can't do it.
You're so generous in calling it self-medication. Thanks,
well,
Peter. Thanks so much. We got to hit it.
I know the term. I love you, dude. I'll see you later.
Later now.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Your thoughts are, of course, welcome at 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
God's in his heaven and things are back the way they're supposed to be. Agnes is in her producing chair. I'm in my yakking chair. Not trying to do 16 different things at the same time. Surprisingly difficult sometimes, that job that my lovely wife does. But no, she's back. And the phone number, of course, if you want to, you know, get involved, if you want to say your piece on Cheney or any other thing for that matter, is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. And, of course, email goes to bob@headonradio.com. And you're welcome to communicate in either way that you might so choose. And we'll do our best to accommodate you. It's about 6 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday night, and I'm pretty much all Cheney'd out. I think until the next revelation about poor Mr. Whittington, what more is there to say? Well, I mean, maybe you've got something. I don't. I'm kind of blown away by all this. Yeah, that doesn't work. I can't imagine 21st century America where we send our vice president. How would the Secret Service protect him? If the shoe had been on the other foot, if he was the guy supposedly coming up from the rear, and they saw Mr. Whittington swinging on him, would his Secret Service detachment have just blown Mr. Whittington into a million tiny pieces before he could have shot? I can't. Yeah, I know. They were all liquored up, and they had their little Swiss Miss out there with them. I understand all of that. But what the hell, honest to God, what the hell was the Secret Service there for? What was their purpose? I mean, we know he carries his own little private MASH unit, but I, for the life of me, I can't figure out what the Secret Service was. You know, did they have a tip that Osama was living with a covey of quail? I'm just flummoxed by this. I'm flummoxed that in 21st century America, we allow the second highest executive in the government to go out playing with guns because he's clearly not competent to handle them. And you know, there have been jokes about it and everything. I said I was done. I guess I'm not. Plenty of jokes. John Stewart last night was absolutely priceless. Agnes and I stayed up to see it the second time around at the 1 a.m. Eastern rebroadcast. It was hilarious. But, of course, that was before anybody knew that this guy was critically injured. This was back when we were still all listening to Catherine Armstrong. Well, he got a good peppering. Got peppered. And it turns out, of course, that he's in critical condition. It turns, you know, and they use these medical terms, the mild heart attack, terms like, the shot migrated to his heart. Anybody care to explain that whole migratory pattern of the common American birdshot to me? I mean, I know bullets do move around and so forth, but in this particular instance, what is this migration business? Did something get in a vein and travel to his heart? They say it triggered atrial fibrillation, and that was the mild heart attack in question. That means that this guy got the hell blasted out of him. And I know it just drives the wing nuts crazy when I say this, but we spent $70 million on investigating Bill Clinton's zipper. You think we could have a credible crime scene investigation on this? I mean, is it too much? If we really flesh out the Swiss Miss angle and make a credible claim that maybe Dick Cheney was doing a little something-something with the Swiss Miss, Can we have a credible law enforcement investigation then? Nah, I guess not. God, if it was Democrats, though, Lord have mercy. Oh, can you imagine the investigation we'd have? Oh, it wouldn't end. I mean, you'd have Dan Burton from Indiana back out in the backyard with his watermelon and his guns, trying to prove that Hillary Clinton actually shot. And this is going to happen yet, that Hillary did it. It's going to happen. It did happen. I saw the story come across today. I don't know who the little right-wing nut was who thought he was really pranking me good by signing me up for the Newsmax little news alerts. I don't know who did that, but I'm grateful. Because, as I've said before, it is a window into the sick, twisted, and psychotic mind of right-wing America. And there it was today. It should be right here, close to the top of the stack. Now, you thought I was kidding about Hillary. No, from Newsmax. Don't go there. Don't make their... trust me on this one, okay? Don't make their little hit counter spin. And, of course, it's Newsmax, so therefore, probably something on the order of 99.99% of it is abject garbage. But still, the press is devoting blanket coverage to Vice President Dick Cheney's hunting accident on Saturday, where he injured a friend while the two were quail shooting in Texas. You know, 12 years ago or so, if you talked about quail shooting, the Secret Service would come and take you away. You ever think about that? But the media didn't think it was such a big deal 5 years ago when Senator Hillary Clinton injured a police officer who was manning a security post at the Westchester County Airport while she was rushing to a fundraiser. You got that? I'm not kidding. That's straight off the copy. Exactly what it said. On October 14, 2001, Clinton's Ford conversion van blew past a security checkpoint manned by Officer Ernest Diamond, who said later that he immediately feared a repeat of the September 11th attacks. That's right. Officer Ernest Diamond is such a damn dummy, he can't tell the difference between a Boeing 757 and a Ford conversion panel van. The van went by me, and we ordered them to stop, and it continued going, and we continued to yell to stop, said Diamond. I didn't know if we had a terrorist, he told the Sun Myung Moon-owned Washington Times. It has, well, you know, do the math. It's been 72 hours or so since, less than 72 hours since we actually found out that Dick Cheney committed attempted homicide. And in less than 72 hours, the right-wing freaks have already jumped out there and blamed Hillary for it. We're talking about some real, real live, honest-to-God loonies here. I mean, not a little bit crazy, but a great big whole lot. Bad big crazy. These people can't be bothered to ask the same questions that you and I have asked. You know, for a real law enforcement investigation instead of just a blanket statement from some paid-off sheriff in South Texas that, well, we are satisfied that there was no alcohol involved and therefore there is not a crime. Why is the first thing they mentioned booze? Is that the only way you can be convicted of negligent shooting during a hunting incident in Texas is if you're overly liquored up? I don't know. I honest to God don't know. The quick-thinking cop grabbed the door of Mrs. Clinton's vehicle and hung on for dear life, banging away on the window until her Secret Service driver stopped. And he was worried that that the van was a terrorist? Crazy dude in a uniform who grabs a moving van, going at apparently a high rate of speed and hangs on for dear life, banging on the van. That dude might be he's lucky the Secret Service didn't get out and blow him away. Just like Dick Cheney almost blew away, well, did, came closer, we don't know, waiting for blowing Mr. Whittington away. It just amazes me. I'm astonished. Now, you know, what are we missing out on by paying attention to all of this? Well, it's absolutely driving Fox News crazy because, of course, they're not able, you know, Rita Cosby, Bullwinkle's baby sister, is not able to devote sufficient coverage to the arrested white dude in England who allegedly shot his white wife and white baby in America thing. Natalie Holloway, missing white. You get the idea. Driving them nuts. No, they have to keep talking about this this shooting situation. But they're not going to tell us anymore. Even if David Gregory of NBC News goes up and just slaps Scotty McClellan senseless, nothing more is going to come out on this issue. Not another blessed thing. They've got their non-story and they're non-sticking to it. Meanwhile, from today's New York Times headline, U.S. and Israelis are said to talk of Hamas ouster. Of Hamas ouster. Because, you know, after all, the United States and Israel, we really believe in democracy unless the democracy happens to wind up electing someone that isn't our buddy. Then democracy, well, not so much. So, you know, there's that. And like I said, there's anything else that you care to talk about, and we will do that. We'll do it when we come back. The phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. And me, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, oh! There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Agnes is on a Valentine's Day kick, people. I can't offer you any. God only knows what you're going to hear tonight. Okay. If we're going to do this for Valentine's Day, then somewhere along in here, I get Paul McCartney's silly love songs. Okay. I mean, I think that's only fair, don't you? No, what we're missing while we're following the Dick Cheney case? From Dylan McCullough. What? The Justice Department asks a judge to approve Patriot Act email monitoring without any evidence of criminal behavior when decided February 2nd, 2006 by U.S. District Judge Thomas Hogan in Washington, D.C. Outcome, email surveillance approved. What happened? As part of a grand jury investigation that's still secret, the Justice Department asked a federal magistrate judge to approve monitoring of an unnamed person's email correspondence. Oh, hell, I'm done. No, I'm kidding. The request had a twist. Instead of asking to eavesdrop on the contents of the email messages, pay attention, which would require some evidence of wrongdoing, the prosecutors instead asked for the identities of the correspondents. There's a big difference in that, of course. The federal magistrate judge balked and asked if the Justice Department to submit an additional brief to demonstrate that such a request would be legal. Instead, the prosecutors backed off and asked Judge Hogan to step in. He reviewed the portion of federal law dealing with pen register and trap and trace devices. Pen registers are what you use to find out who's calling whom, where, and when in traditional old-fashioned electronic telephone wiretapping. And though the language may be clumsy, Hogan said, the Patriot Act's amendments, get this, authorize that type of easily obtainable surveillance of email.
All that's required, he said, is that prosecutors claim the surveillance could conceivably, not will be, just might be, may be, relevant to an investigation. Something on the order of one-fifth of the American people are now convinced that the federal government does, in fact, spy on them, even though they're not doing anything wrong. I'm one of those 20%. I think the number is actually considerably higher. And now it turns out that, you know, they can spy on your email. You okay with that? Wonder if there is a single member of Congress, Republican or Democrat, I'm equal opportunity here. I wonder if there is a single member of Congress who knows about this case decided by U.S. District Judge Thomas Hogan in Washington, D.C. on February the 2nd, Groundhog Day. I'm betting the answer is no, and I'm betting most of you wouldn't take that bet. Because you agree with me. No, they're having lobster Freeburg or something with some lobbyist somewhere. Yeah. Or if you're a Republican, you're having lobster Freeburg, and then you're going to a rally demanding that big rocks with the Ten Commandments on them be put in our schools. This just drives me nuts. I hate weaseling around. I hate the machinations that lawyers go through in order to convince themselves and dim-witted judges that the Constitution really doesn't matter in a post-9/11 America. Makes me crazy. This is a quote from the court's opinion. In 2001, Congress enacted the United and Strengthening America by Providing Appropriate Tools Required to Intercept and Obstruct Terrorism Act of 2001. That's the USA Patriot Act. Section 216 of which explicitly amended the authorities relating to pen registers and trap and trace devices by expanding the definitions of these devices to include processes to obtain information about electronic communication. Commenting on the very language that was finally enacted in Section 216 of the USA Patriot Act, several members of Congress highlighted the fact that the amendments would bring the state of the law in line with current technology by making pen registers and trap and trace devices applicable to the Internet and, more to the point, email. I don't know how Republicans can countenance this, because we all know what perverts Republicans are. I mean, we know when they had their little political convention in fall of 2004 on top of the dead from 9/11 in New York City, extra sex workers, especially the really 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 kinky ones, had to come in to meet the demand of the dirty little Republicans. All right, it just is. They are, they're dirty, they're sleazy, they're creepy, and they hide behind things like religion and patriotism. But you know what? They really don't want the federal government looking at their emails, because that's where you're going to find them, you know, PayPaling to spankmeivebeennaughty.com. Right? Right. So, you know, just another thing that we missed while we were worrying about shotgun dick. It amazes me, like I said. Tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour. Coming up, our Cup of Joe report from our good friend Joe Vecchio, who is back from his brief respite. And when we come back, your phone calls, if you feel so inclined. 877-443-2366 is the number. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Linda Ellerbe. Did you know that every 3 minutes another woman gets the news she has breast cancer? I got it 11.
Hi, I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class, too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. It's Valentine's Day, a day we're supposed to show that special someone in our lives a little extra love. I didn't do a report yesterday because I wanted to spend some time with my late wife's sons, who I love as if they were my own. And I think for those of us who spend so much time in front of our computer screens, we need to get away from it for a little while and take a breath. I know I felt better after seeing my sons, and they, of course, were happy to see me. So in honor of Valentine's Day, I'd like for everyone who's reading and listening to this podcast to show a little love to your community. If you don't already do so, go out and do a little volunteer work somewhere, either today or in the future. Try to make a difference in someone's life, even if it doesn't seem to mean much in the larger scheme of things. The New Deal was built on a foundation of small acts by caring people. I think a lot of us, myself included, don't understand that very well as we write and read about the doings of the rich and powerful. Let it be a reminder to us about how important politics can be to people's everyday lives. And of course, if you can afford it, you can also show a little love in the way of a small donation to your favorite blog or political organization. Most of us out here in the blogosphere do what we do out of love, love for our country and love for our fellow citizens, even the ones we don't like very much. Even if it's just a couple of dollars, it's the kind of recognition that makes what we do seem worthwhile. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
The weather of it, I'm in trouble.
And we're back. Little Agnes dance moment. I'm Bob Kincaid. And this is Head On, of course, for a Valentine's Day night. Or, as people steeped in their history know, the celebration of the Feast of Lupercus. It's the Lupercalia. In honor of the goddess Juno Februata. Yes, indeedy. It is what it is, though. Let's go to the phones. Rick is with us from Panama City, our good friend Rick. Hey, Rick, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. You?
Oh, I don't know. These days I feel like, thinking someone should yell fire in a hole when Cheney's even walking by you.
Oh, I know.
I'm
just amazed. I am simply amazed, Rick. Like I said, 21st century, and we're letting the guy who's a heartbeat away from the big red button that blows us all to kingdom come, we're letting him play with guns.
At least they gave it all the attention they would of covering up a tryst with that Hilton girl. You know, I mean, it's amazing what they did. I mean, who got the first call? Who do you think? Karl Rove? Frank Luntz to construct a language, and somewhere down the line, probably 911 might have been called.
And then the girl who answered the phone at the Corpus Christi paper was their health and fitness editor. That woman, Catherine, what was her name? Catherine Alexander, something like that. She was actually trying to reach an old family shill who worked for that paper, who had been covering their family for years and years and years.
No kidding.
And they got the health and fitness, you know, the little aerobics girl on who was working that weekend instead. She was perky. I saw her on Olbermann's show. She was
really?
Perky.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help it, though. I feel so bad about the guy, but I keep thinking, I mean, here it is, Valentine's Day, Cheney, and you just think St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, it all works incredibly well. Like I've said a million times, the Muslims say that God has 99 names. Well, you know, I'll add the 100th. He's a god of irony.
Yeah, really. I mean, I heard Randy. She was reading about. They had updated the news story about it out of one of the spin rooms, and it was coming out now that he's gone from shooting him with a shotgun to a pellet gun.
Yeah, that was on, that went down the memory hole earlier, but yeah, that was ABC News. I've got it in my stack here. I can quote it. ABC News referred to it as a pellet gun.
Yeah, I mean, sooner or later it's going to be a super soaker, won't it?
Yeah, well, you know, a red rider with a telescopic sight and a compass in the stock.
Jeez, I mean, it's just, you know, what I would like to know is everything I could possibly find out about the gentleman that was shot. I'd like to know his relationship to these people. I'd like to know what he's been involved in. I'd like to know what he's been working on lately.
Well, lately, it's not really lately, over the course of several years, he's been patiently torturing the city of Austin.
Oh, has he now?
Yeah, because the city of Austin condemned via eminent domain, like a city block that his family owned, and demolished it and built a $10.5 million parking garage on it.
Okay.
And he's been challenging that litigation all along. Now, the thing that I wonder about, and this is pure conspiracy theory, you know, Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the lead pipe stuff.
There he goes again.
But isn't Scotty McClellan's mommy some sort of governmental critter in Austin city government?
Well, yeah. Matter of fact, I think she's running for governor, isn't she?
But isn't she like presently mayor or something?
Yeah, something like that. I know she's in it. I mean, it's the strangest thing too. She's running as a Democrat.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. She's run. She's she's either running as a Democrat. I mean, I got loose details about stories. She's either running as a Democrat or she's running against Bush's favored person. Is some kind of, I saw her on...
Yeah, this is some sort of weird three-way between her and Kinky Friedman and Bush's boy.
Yeah, and there's, you know, they made a big joke out of it in one of the press meetings with Simple Scotty there, and they were talking about that he didn't want to get in the middle of it because the politics were different. Then I saw an interview with her, and boy, she's wretched. She is wretched. This is a woman...
Are we talking Mean Gene Schmidt wretched?
No, we're talking more like that chick that Randy debated on.
Ooh.
on that C-SPAN.
Yeah, the la 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 lady.
Yeah, that crazy broad. Yeah, her. She's like that. She's got this really weird Tony Robbins, I'm so motivated, hit me, I'm going to hit you with my 1,000th cliche in a minute kind of way of speaking.
Well, see, this is, now, see, maybe we're getting out of tinfoil hat territory, Rick, because what Mr. Whittington has done is patiently wait all these, he has sued them, and, you know, he lost one, then he's won another, and if he continues winning through the appeals process, the city of Austin is going to wind up giving him, at the very least, a cut of the parking garage profits.
Wow.
Now, if he goes away, case go away.
Yeah. I mean, it just, and now they've got a BB that's somewhere traveling around in his heart or something.
Yeah, like a sort of, shall we say, primitive version of nanotechnology.
Yeah, and it's just, and I caught again. I've been very busy, but I wasn't paying attention, but I listened and heard something to the effect that they were going to leave the shot in his heart for either this week or just maybe elect to leave it there permanently. But that's like the old ticking time bomb theory right there. I mean, he's 70-something years old.
Well, that was what triggered the atrial fibrillation, Rick.
Right. I mean, I suppose that it could, if he dies, they'll just say natural causes because he's 77. He died of lead poisoning or something like that. You know, they're not going to say,
yeah.
They'll never admit it was a direct result that the fact that Cheney blew him away. And then I was watching a couple of extras, these little human interest segments, and they did something on one of these shows about how to properly hunt for a coven of quail. And I know nothing about it, but they were showing how to do it, and they tried to claim that this is a common occurrence, happens every day. Yeah, it was MSNBC, matter of fact.
Yeah, not among people who know what they're doing, not among people who take their hunting seriously. I grew up watching Kurt Gowdy's American Sportsman and never saw anybody get blasted with birdshot during one. And, you know, they were getting liquored up and good, then they had cameras.
Yeah, well, I mean, and another thing they said, which is very odd to me, and maybe this is common, but I didn't finish watching this stupid thing because I saw that all it was a hit piece to tell us that it could have happened to anybody. It wasn't carelessness. That's what that was all about on MSNBC. But they said that he was supposed to announce himself. And that's common that you announce yourself if you're in a certain place while you're hunting these quail. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what are you standing behind him? You say, hey,
yoo-hoo. Yeah, yoo-hoo, it's me.
Yeah, and if he's in front of them, I really don't get that. You know, I mean, they're trying to say that this guy started, some quail flew up in the air, and they're tracking these quail.
Well, how's he going to announce himself if,
These were hand-released quail.
Yeah, they were pen-raised. They were almost flightless.
Yeah, so
they had no fight or flight response, and this business of announcing oneself, that's just most people wear hearing protection when they're out shooting.
Yeah, there's another. I don't get it. It all stinks to high heaven. I don't. But just the whole way they went about it, and then the absolute contempt once again for the press, for Americans needing to know, it was just phenomenal. That just dripping with contempt. It's too bad you had to wait 22 hours. You know, what right do you have to know in the first place? That kind of attitude coming out of them.
Well, if it was, you know, and the question, it's a completely fair question. Had it been Dick Cheney who got blown away, would we have waited 22 hours on that?
You know, they might have. Matter of fact, they might have even said he's in an undisclosed location and left it at that for the next 3 or 4 years. You know, because these people are so weird about their group.
Well, but then again, I mean, you know, let's just run down the whole conspiracy theory lane, Rick. I have seen it said that this is the perfect opportunity to bring Condi on board as vice president.
Yes, absolutely. And then let's run a little further. Yeah, Rove says, let's keep this, you know, quiet, release it locally in some small thing because we don't want to lose the gun nuts and the hunters. He's going to look irresponsible. This is going to go bad for him. Let's bring it out in a certain way so that we don't lose everybody that's in the gun.
Oh, and it's being milked for all it's worth. James Brady, remember him?
Yeah.
He came out today and he said, well, now I understand why Dick wants to go hunting with me.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, good one. Good one. You know, cheap shot, but good.
Yeah.
Who could blame them? These people, every time you do have them in a box, which you can get these guys in a box, I didn't want to say in your sights.
Yeah, but, I know. It's
you know, but you can. You can confront them on so many issues, and then they just have that contempt and just blow you off no matter what it is. I mean, I'm telling you, this group of people that run this country right now, you could find them holding on to the hair of a severed head and say, you've killed that man or something. And they'd say, what man?
Not only that, but they would say, well, you know, if the president does it, it's not illegal.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like I'm making light. I'm not. There is a school of thought, Rick, that says it is physically impossible for the president or the vice president to commit a crime.
Well, exactly. Now, and matter of fact, months ago, I mean, I wrote a letter to your Senator Byrd back when I thought he was, you know, guy I thought he was.
Yeah.
And I wrote him, it wasn't a letter, it was an email, actually, and I sent it to him, and I told him, I said, why don't you just accept the facts, sir? Because this was right after one of his rants about when he's holding up the Constitution. And I said, why don't you accept the facts, sir, of what I accept? And I believe, and I think it's an absolute truth, that this fella is no longer a president. He's more like an emperor or a king. If you want to go as far as benevolent dictator, go ahead.
Well, are you any kind?
There's not a power on earth that can remove him.
Are you any kind of an old Star Trek fan?
The original series?
Yeah. You know the one where they land on the planet where Kirk's old buddy landed there years ago, and it turns out he's turned the whole planet into a bunch of Nazis?
Yes.
And they
yes.
find out at the end that they've just kept him alive with drugs, and he sits there and, you know, obey me, you know, on the TV every now and then?
Yeah, they broke into a little studio, and there he was.
Yeah, this is that.
Yeah.
I mean, I am constantly amazed by the degree to which I'm becoming convinced that modern politics is driven by what these political wonks watched when they were kids.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've made the very same observation myself. I have. I have, and I'm sure many others have. I mean, because you want to say, well, this is art imitating life, and in fact, it's life imitating art. All the time with this group of guys. I want to address another thing, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to call you about it in the last couple of days, but I was building a new Pentium D for my kid.
Oh, God.
What a rocket. What a rocket. Oh, about another time. But at any rate, it didn't, as far as, I mean, I haven't been to Crooks and Liars or Media Matters or anything lately. Excuse me, but there was a little thing that went on Meet the Press that I thought was astounding. And I'm surprised a lot of people haven't addressed it. And it was when Roberts, that creepy SOA,
mm-hmm.
he's sitting there and Daschle's sitting next to him. And they were talking about the objections by any senators. And he comes out and says, well, there was one that I know of. Senator Rockefeller wrote a letter, and then he stuck it in a safe for 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. He let the entire world believe that never mentioning the fact that they were two handwritten letters, and he sent one to Bush and Cheney, and he just left it there like he had put it in a safe and never done anything about it, and nobody called him on it, not Russert, not Daschle. They just sat there and let him get away with that.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the way that works. I think Media Matters has analyzed. Since like the last Bush administration, you know, Daddy Bush, they've analyzed the guest makeup on the panel for the Sunday Blab Fests.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about 7,000 guests, and it's almost impossible to find a real live, honest to God, card carrying liberal on those shows anymore.
Well, yeah. I remember there was Malloy. He showed up on one once.
John Kasich?
Yeah.
Oh God!
But he did a pretty fair job.
The audio
gave
still
up too soon.
Yeah, the audio is still available at the website there.
Is it still there?
Yeah, at MikeMalloy.com.
It's
a gem.
Yeah, he did a good job. But I just think he got, you know how Mike is. He doesn't like to waste his time, and at the, I just think he should have just pressed them a little bit more towards the end. But
well,
anyway,
he said Bush crime family and John Kasich's head exploded.
Yeah, I know. I mean, at least he got it out there. But yeah. I don't think they've invited him back since. But I wish he would show up on more because he's the man. He's the guy that will say it. Because, I mean, you know, like yourself. I mean, they won't get anybody up there that will just tell it like it is. I mean, inflammatory.
No, they don't think America even wants to hear that, Rick.
Oh, they know America wants to hear. They don't want America to hear that.
See, I don't know. You and I might part company on that. I don't think that mainstream media is that tuned into the American heartbeat.
Oh, yes, they are.
And
I'll tell you why. The people that are profiting right now is the war economy. It's the old, as it was said, military-industrial complex economy. And these guys are making money hand over fist, and they own these news outlets. I mean, we've only got, what is it, 6 or 7 guys that owns it all now. And they know exactly what they're doing. They are purposely filtering the news, and they're putting this junk up. That's why when you watch these cable shows, when something, well, I don't even remember what it was last week because it got so little coverage, but it was big enough. It was about the NSA, actually.
Yeah.
And the new memo that fell out, that's right. The second Downing Street that fell out.
Yeah, right. The one that pretty much drives all the nails.
Yeah, the beauty. And they turn around and what do? Every news channel for 2 days is covering local murders.
I know.
They all turn into the local news and they're covering local murders.
And beauty pageants and little girls with ice cream cones and squirrels.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I just, and that just proves it more and more. I mean, I knew. I believed this before that. But, I mean, this news is being managed. They are in bed with this White House. They want this White House to not only succeed, but they want it to stay forever. They want to set up a situation where this corporatocracy is directly linked in power, in league, and just barely subservient to an emperor, a king, a dictator, whatever you want to call it. But they want a Musharraf-type relationship. That's what they want.
Oh, well, and they have to destroy the Constitution in the process. We may be looking at things completely, as they say, bass-ackwards, Rick. It's not so much that they have to destroy the Constitution to do what they want to do. They want to destroy the Constitution, and therefore they're doing what they are.
That's right. That's the way I believe it. That is how I look at it. That's exactly how I look at it.
That's a lot more dangerous.
Well, I believe this is where we are, and I've never held back from saying so on any of my websites or anything. I mean, I was telling people for 14 years, this is what you're looking at. I mean, I knew about the bankruptcy bill 12 years ago.
Yeah, because
everybody would laugh at me.
Yeah.
You know, and when it, so basically, if I could find all my old files, I mean, I could do it all day long. I could not tooting my own horn, but I could just copy and paste and put up what I posted 4 years ago. You know.
Yeah, and nothing changes.
No, you know who I'll tell you, a guy that gets it right, even though he's a lot of people don't like him. He's always on the cutting edge, and I find this guy to be sometimes 2, 4, and 10 years out. That's that Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You ever listen to him?
Yeah, and his site Prison Planet.
Yeah, Prison Planet and Infowars.com.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and I got a lot of his movies and such along with. Oh, speaking of that.
Yeah,
I'll be putting something up for you. I got a little thing that the BBC did. I don't know if you ever saw this, but it's the BBC did it, a whole overview on American prisons, particularly here in Florida. And I want you to see it.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Yeah, I'll put that one up first. And then I'll send you a link to my website, and it'll be a direct download link.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, because Agnes and I sat here and watched Loose Change, and Rick, it just blew us away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, I got plenty for you to watch.
Okay, well, great. I'll tell you what, I've got to hit it right now. We've got to do our top of the hour thing.
Absolutely.
But do send that, and after the show, I'll watch.
Okay, fantastic.
All right, thanks so much for all your thoughts, Rick.
Hey, same here. It's always good to talk to you. Keep going.
All right, thanks. We'll do.
Bye now.
Bye now. And if you're on hold, please stick around. We'll come back as quick as we possibly can. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I fell in love with you in a small cafe in Athens. You said you loved me too.
And it was April in Paris when I first held you close to me.
Rome, Georgia,
Athens, Texas, and Paris, Tennessee. No, we're not the jet set. We're the old Chevrolet set. There's no Riviera in Festus, Missouri. And you won't find Onassis in Merlinville, Kansas. No, we're not the jet set. We're the old Chevrolet.
How can we help prepare our kids for the future? Hi, this is Roger McGuinn. These days, our children face challenges unimaginable to us only a generation ago. We adults need to help our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest and keeps them involved. If that something happens to be music, the child will benefit in so many ways. Playing music in school is a great way to make friends. Studies are showing that kids involved in music are less likely to get into trouble. And kids who studied music find science and math easier to grasp. They tend to score higher on SATs. It has something to do with something called spatial IQ. So get your kids involved with school music. It's a great way to help prepare them for life.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway... Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Are you gonna bring
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
You heard what he said. You know what the number is. And something, a request came across. Any of you folks who want to are more than welcome to jump in the pond over at the Tom Hartman chat room, tomhartman.com. That's Tom with an H and Hartman with two N's. Jump on in. That's a fun group in there. Let's go straight to the phones. Fritz is with us from New Mexico and has been waiting. Hey, Fritz, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you
Happy
doing?
Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. The same to you.
Thanks. Just got a bunch of reverse Valentine's rhymes from a friend of mine.
Oh, yeah?
Pretty funny.
Okay.
I thought that I could love no other until, that is, I met your brother. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, that's
anyway, funny. The others are worse than that. I kind of had a down day, Bob, starting with driving to work and hearing about Ohio and Paul Hackett.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I listened to Tom Hartman's viewpoint on it, and he disappointed me a little bit in terms of, you know, Hackett didn't know how to deal with the local machinery, and that's probably true. But you know, that was one of the intriguing and attractive things about the guy.
Well, Hackett, if you mean by local machinery, Fritz, that he didn't know how to play within Ohio Democratic Party politics,
play ball with the party.
Well, but that's not necessarily the story as I understand it. There was a conversation between him and Sherrod Brown.
Uh huh.
And Hackett said to him, "I'm going to run if you don't, and I won't run if you do." And Paul Hackett claimed that he was given a handshake gentleman's agreement that Sherrod Brown wasn't going to run, and that therefore that's why Hackett decided to. Yeah, it is depressing. And I followed this, you know, from a month back or so when it started falling apart, when Charles Schumer of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee and also of, you know, the fine folks at the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC.
Oh, God.
Went to Hackett and said, "You're out and Brown's in."
Yeah, well, that's the problem right there, Bob.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the DLC is the problem.
I mean, as far as I can tell, they're sort of rather mafiosi-like in their approach to Democratic Party politics.
It sure sounds like it. And they're probably asking for omerta as well, you know. Talk about Republican omerta. It's ridiculous.
It's just
so that, you know, that was disheartening to me in that sense, is that there's that internal strife, and it's the last thing that the party needs right now.
Well, yeah. No, we need cohesion. We need progressives. We need people who aren't afraid in the I forget who did coin that phrase, speak truth to power. But we need people who will do that, Fritz.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what my concern is, because obviously Hackett would do that. And, you know, Sherrod Brown supposedly has a good record at opposing, you know, and opposing NAFTA and along the lines of, you know, supporting labor. And I hope that that's true, but I still think he's going to lose, because I don't think his message is going to resonate enough to independent voters.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Ohio, it's not a good place with a few exceptions. It's not a good place to be a Democrat. I mean, you want to run somebody for Senate, and I don't know, maybe they even approached him and he said no. Can you imagine Dennis Kucinich in the Senate of the United States?
Not from Ohio, no.
No.
I don't think.
I mean, God knows.
I think he keeps getting reelected from that district in Cleveland because they love him, but I don't see how the hell he could do it, you know, statewide.
But my God,
I love it. But
yeah, wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, it's you know.
Same way that I love seeing Bernie Sanders there. I mean, I'd love Bernie and Dennis to be both in the Senate together.
Yeah, and of course, I saw that. I haven't seen any follow up. Did you see where Bernie collapsed at a campaign appearance?
Yeah, I did.
I guess he's okay.
Yeah, I guess he's okay. They haven't said anything to the contrary, so I'm figuring that must be okay news.
I just, you know, I want people in there that think like I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dennis and Bernie are people like that for me, absolutely.
Because the fact of the matter is, you know, the wrong wing, I mean, let's face it, the wrong wing is so fond, Fritz, of saying that people like you and me, we're just, you know, we're fringe elements of the Democratic
Party.
We're
just nutcases, Bob.
Yeah, because we want people to go, be able to go to the daggum doctor. That makes us crazy.
Yeah, and because I want to see these poor 12,000 people that got disenfranchised, you know, out of everything, not be thrown out of their hotel and be told by a FEMA spokesperson. This is the other thing I heard on the way to work. Well, they're on their own. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, well, thanks. We got, you know, we'll just get on the, we'll just ride the rails in the boxcars now because it's 1930 all over again.
There you go. Yeah,
and,
that's,
and
you know,
three,
what else are they going to do these poor SOBs? I mean, I feel awful for them.
Well, but you know, still, Fritz, back up for God's sakes. You know, we're talking about hotel rooms here, and you know, I'm tied in with some of these right wing PR cretins, and I had a thing today that said, you know, FEMA is paying $328 a day for some Katrina victims to live in hotels in New York City. I don't care.
I don't care either. Get the damn trailers out that they were promised, and then
the trailer.
Get
yeah, the trailers that are sitting in Arkansas, literally sinking into the mud.
Yes,
they're
so
not
I've
habitable
heard.
Anymore.
So
$300 and some odd million dollars.
I can't tell you.
Yeah, $300 some odd million dollars worth of trailers sitting in Hope, Arkansas. Well, that's got to be Clinton's fault. They're in Hope. Literally sinking into the mud, structurally unsound, no longer habitable.
Yeah,
and I've seen video walkthroughs of, and they're nice. They're not. They're daggum double wide.
Yeah, but when you leave them sitting there, I've seen trailers like that out in fields in New England. You leave them sitting there, man, they deteriorate.
Yeah, you've
got to be taken care of.
You've got to anchor them. You've got to support them. You've got to foundation them.
And you especially have to keep the moisture out of them.
And three, and they're not talking about, you know, maybe 10%. They're not talking about 20%. The entire $300 million worth of trailers, they're garbage.
Right, and so the Republicans had this hearing on Katrina. You know, that's the other thing that was, again, I'm listening to disheartening things today for me. You know, so they had this, you know, they had this hearing, and they made their speeches, and they made their pronouncement about, okay, it was handled incorrectly. So that's, you know, so now we took care of it, in other words. That's what I'm feeling about this.
Well, yeah, okay, we've issued our reports. We're done. Will you please not...
Yeah, we're done. Everything's hunky-dory
now.
Yeah,
we screwed this up. Will you please not throw us out of office in November, even though...
Exactly, Bob, exactly. That's what it's about.
Here's your little Band-Aid with the purple heart on it. Go away now and quit complaining about how we ignored 1,000 or 6,000 people to death in Katrina. And
me again. And the final thing is that this Cheney story, I'm worried, is going to distract us from... They're backing us into Iran.
Oh, I'm thoroughly, I admit it. Fritz, I admit it. I am completely distracted by this.
Yeah, I've tried not to be, but, you know, it's all over the place.
Well, you know, if you're...
The moment I hear the word Iran, you know, my blood starts to curdle, Bob.
Well, the story I had last night touched on it very briefly. It was in the Boston Globe, Fritz, and it was, U.S. intelligence officials state that Iran has said that it is ready to unleash terror attacks around the world from its sleeper cells should the United States choose to invade Iran.
Yeah, and what I heard tonight was, is that the U.S. Army spokespeople said that, you know, this preparation is, you know, is not simply some sort of peripheral exercise. In other words, you know, we're actually preparing in a real way for this.
How?
And, you know, and my nerve endings are frazzled hearing that. I just want to bash my head into a wall. How could we possibly do this? We're broke, for God's sake. Even ignoring the fact that it's going to be another preemptive strike, you know, on a country that's done nothing to us. We're broke. How are we going to do this?
Well, completely ignoring the moral ramifications of another offensive war started against somebody who hasn't fired a single shot in anger at us. Ignoring the moral consequences of that, Fritz. Yeah, how the hell are we going to pay for it?
Yeah, we're going to borrow more money from the Chinese. I mean, is this nuts? Think about this.
Yeah, this is
and
crazy.
The polyps are sitting in their couches all over America ignoring this, Bob. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we can't even get traction right now. The Super Bowl's over. Baseball hasn't started yet. The hockey playoffs aren't going yet. The Desperate Housewives, they're in reruns, aren't we? And we still can't get America off the couch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this story that I mentioned earlier this evening from the New York Times today. Headline, U.S. and Israelis are said to talk of Hamas ouster.
Yeah, I heard that one, too.
At some point, and I've got mixed emotions about this, at some point they're going to have to knuckle under, and I don't know, maybe this is the game. They get us up to that line, and they hand it off in 2009 to whatever poor bastard gets the job. And you know, you're going to have a draft buster.
How are they going to avoid it if this happens?
Well, I mean, you want to finish the war in Iraq? You got to have a draft.
Yeah,
you want to start the war in Iran? You got to have a draft.
And they're going to hand it off to whatever poor SOB falls into the job. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, the part where they really get to snicker up their sleeves is when they realize that it could very well be a Democrat. After the 8 years of profound, we're talking about short bus mismanagement of the entire American structure. They're snickering up their sleeves right now at the thought that, yeah, we're going to give it to a Democrat and let them bring back the draft. Damn, ain't we smart?
Entirely possible. Entirely possible. Well, I'm sorry to put us all into such
I
apologize.
No, don't apologize. We got to do this stuff. I mean, I was completely...
Well, we got to be conscious. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I was completely ADD for the entire first hour of this program and the better part of the one last night. And I still am, because I can't make this whole whole shooting Cheney gig work out in my head. It just defies every bit of reason and analysis and logical processing that I was educated to work with, and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, I can understand that, and I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, they tried Aaron Burr. Ultimately, they tried Aaron Burr for killing Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, they did. Indeed, they did.
But this happens in... And, you know, we've got listeners in Texas, and I don't mean to offend them. We've got friends in Texas, and I don't mean to offend them. But apparently, if you're a Republican or some part of the damn Bush machine, you can go down there and slaughter people on the streets. And thank God that the vice president was there with his crash cart to help him. I mean, is that just me?
I have to confess that I'm doing my best to move away from it, because it irritates me so much. So I'm doing my best to just tell myself, well, there's these other important things like this Michael Rand going on. Get away from it, and focus on the important stuff. Make sure you're aware. And I'm sorry, you know, I apologize if I'm offending anybody by saying that. But, you know, it's doing the same thing to me as it's doing to you, and I'm trying to just walk away from it. I'm trying to be zen about it, but...
Well, you know, what is the sound of one Cheney heart valve clapping? I understand completely, and I understand I wish I still indulged in some of the vices I did in my younger days, because this would be about the time.
Yeah, I hear you. Well,
you know, just make it all go away, let the walls melt, and be happy.
Well, I think I'm going to pull out the JD on that note and have a nice, sharp one.
Ice. No. Oh, yeah. Now there's a man. There's a man. Why water the good stuff?
Yeah, no ice. Just a little snort, you know.
Yeah. Just to
help
just,
me sleep. Help me sleep through all of this insanity.
Just to cut the edge off.
There you go.
All right, Fritz, you take it easy. So
you
good
too,
to hear
Bob.
From
good
you.
Good talking to you.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
And first time caller Richard from North Carolina. Hey, Richard, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
All right. Hey, I listened to your show from the 13th in archives this afternoon and really enjoyed it, and so I'll try to be a regular listener from now on.
Well, bless your heart. I hope so.
Hey, you were just talking about Hackett, and that kind of ties into what I wanted to ask you about, because I've heard several of these fighting Dems, as they're being called, interviewed on Air America. And the problem that I'm having with them, even though I think it's great that they serve their country and everything, is they don't seem to think that it was wrong to invade Iraq. They only think the way we went about it is wrong. And I've also heard a panel of Iraq vets talking to, I think, Christian Parenti, and they basically said that even if they realize that the orders they're carrying out are wrong, and even though they supposedly are under oath when they join the military to disobey an unconstitutional order, that they still feel it's their obligation and their duty to carry out those orders. So I wonder how much of an opposition voice could somebody like Hackett be if he buys into that?
I know exactly what you're talking about, Richard, because Paul Hackett has said some things in the past that run along those kinds of lines, and I have the same kinds of misgivings. I think that maybe what America is looking for out of out of these so-called fighting Dems, or what progressives and liberals are hoping they're going to get out of them, is somebody like a George McGovern. I mean, my God, George McGovern was a decorated war hero from the Second World War who flew more missions over occupied Europe than John McCain could ever dream of having flown over Vietnam. I mean, this guy was the real deal, and he finally got to thinking about, and this was World War II, this was the good war, right?
Right.
But he got to the point where he was thinking about the munitions that he was dropping on innocent civilians, and it bothered him. And by the time it got to Vietnam, I read an excerpt from the speech the other day where he said, every single senator in this room is complicit in murder in Vietnam. And talking about the motives for doing it, or whether we're doing it gently or harshly, is absolutely immaterial to the fact that we are complicit in the killing of civilians.
Right, and I think Howard Zinn had a similar experience. I don't know if he was a pilot, but he was definitely a crew member on a bomber in World War II, and it was near the end of the war where they essentially knew the war was over, and they were still sent out on one last bombing run on a small French town where supposedly there were German troops stationed. And he said that just the insanity of that order. And I think they were even testing out an early version of napalm, if I'm remembering his story right.
I think you're right.
Bothered him so much that it really made him start to.
Well, you know, and look at the pacifism of Kurt Vonnegut. That arose out of his experience, literally surviving in a slaughterhouse during the bombing of Dresden.
And Stan Goff, he's a really outspoken guy right now. I think he was Special Forces and even taught at the Army War College, but now he's one of the most vocal critics. But you just won't hear from him.
That's the thing, Richard. I don't know if these so-called fighting Dems. I don't know if they're as much a product of their experiences in the war as they are. At this point in time, at least in the consciousness, the collective consciousness of the progressive and liberals in this country, of their projections upon them. You know, we're hoping that out of, you know, a dozen of these guys, maybe we get one John Kerry who stands up and says, how do you ask someone to be the last man to die for a mistake?
Right.
And I understand their position a little bit because they think that it is still patently impossible to stand up and say the thing was wrong from the get-go. And I don't get that, Richard. I honest to God don't get that.
I don't either.
You know
what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please.
That's something else because I was a registered Democrat until after Clinton's first term, and I was really disgusted by his kowtowing to the corporate interests on NAFTA and GATT and most favored nation for trade status for China that I think has caused American labor a lot of problems since then. But I wonder if the Dems aren't so invested in the same system like the military industrial complex and the 700 military bases around the world.
Absolutely.
And all that to ever be the ones to step up and say we can cut military spending without sacrificing national security. And even become the party of cutting taxes, but they're just letting that opportunity go right by, it seems like.
Well, you know, if you're a Democratic congressman and you've got a military base in your district, you're not going to go back and reread Ike's military industrial complex speech and suddenly come back, you know, when Brack comes out and go, yeah, go ahead, close my base. Because you will not get returned to office. I've heard through the grapevine that part of the deal with the devil that Robert Byrd made in supporting Samuel Alito had to do with keeping the 130th Airlift Wing of the West Virginia Air National Guard in Charleston. That's part and parcel of why I could never be involved in politics at that level, because I cannot sell out my morals, my fundamental sense of what's right and wrong. On a deal like that.
Yeah, there seems like there could be some sort of transition that wouldn't necessarily just mean closing those bases and putting all those people on the dole or on welfare. That there could be some sort of transition where they could go to some other form of public service or some kind of public works or something without it causing those problems and creating that kind of political liability.
Well, this thing, again, was, you know, Bush is an idiot, okay? I mean, let's just, that goes as read. He is an absolute idiot. Dick Cheney is apparently a megalomaniacal killer. the Karl Rove is like some sort of Dr. Frankenstein, the political Dr. Frankenstein in his little lab coat going, yes.
Yeah.
And things like the Brack Commission and the bases that were chosen to be closed, I believe somehow, somewhere along the way, there was a political calculus involved in all of that where they knew that they could get leverage over certain hostile or semi-hostile politicians by which they could move them to do their own nefarious bidding.
It's a tricky situation. I mean, if those politicians really do wish it could be the other way, it's, you'd maybe hope they would at least speak out about it and to kind of explain the situation there, and instead of lending tacit support to the policies by being silent.
Well, see, we're engaged in an America right now, Richard, where if you can win real kudos from, and this just, you know, it's one of those eyes rolling back in the head kind of things. You can win real political capital by appealing to people in the church pews and saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to cut the budget for them poor people and act in direct contravention of everything Jesus Christ ever stood for or said. And but because, you know, they're useless and they're poor and they don't have a place at the table, and you got to have personal responsibility in America, and the entire church population will stand up and scream Hosanna. But if you, on the other hand, if you go to them and say, you know, we need to cut the Pentagon budget by 15%.
But yeah, they'd accuse you of being a traitor who wants to.
They'll hand you your little turban and tell you to go live with Osama.
Yeah. I do know about the religious thing too. That's very disturbing to me. I mean, a lot of my family are rapture believing fundamentalist Christians, and my wife's family as well. And
me too.
And that is the attitude. I mean, the whole prayer of Jabez thing. It is a prosperity gospel these days that tells you that the only blessing to really worry about is the blessing of material wealth.
Well, it's
people who don't have that are cursed by God.
It's pure, unadulterated, old fashioned Calvinism, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is Calvinism, and Calvin wasn't much of a guy himself.
No, I mean, but he said, you know, if you're rich on earth, it's because God loves you and approves of your piety.
Right.
And if you're poor, it's because you're screwing up in the eyes of the Lord. That's where we are right now. And, there's a backlash movement. I hope it gains steam, the right-wing infiltration of everything that's good and decent in America is running full steam. And I'll be honest, I'm not very good at being the answer guy. I don't know precisely where you go in and stick put a stick in the spokes of that whole machine and make it grind to a halt. I don't know.
I think it might just have to run out of gas on its own before we can make anything happen.
Lord God, if that's the case, Richard, we are so screwed.
That's why I've been pretty depressed these days, because I'm like you. I don't see the opening to change things. I mean, if Democratic politicians' hands are tied and there's no help from the churches because they have that attitude, and there's no help from the military because they're just going to carry out their orders, then it's sure as hell not going to come from the business community, then where is our opening?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it comes when the opening came. Yeah, I mean, anybody who's ever studied the Roaring Twenties, Richard, you know, from let's see, who followed Wilson? That was Warren Gamaliel Harding, and then he died in office, and then it was Coolidge, and then it was Hoover, and it was just unadulterated eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die ism in American politics.
Right.
And when the Wall Street bankers went to the ledges, then apparently America sat up and went, well, we can't have this. You know, they were people starving, people standing in soup lines, people displaced with environmental disaster. Do we even bother to remember the Dust Bowl anymore? That was a man-made disaster.
I know the conservatives don't want to talk about it.
No, because that was on their watch. They created it. They created it, just like they've created this. And you know, the other side of that is, you know, sometimes long before George Bush ever said we're addicted to oil, I've been talking about our national junk fix for 2-3 years now.
Yeah, did I hear you mention peak oil on last night's show?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I do think that's a big piece of the puzzle that's sorely missing from the Democratic discussion.
That's
the Iraq situation is our dependence on foreign oil and how
that's the 900 pound gorilla. That's the 900 pound gorilla in the room.
Yeah.
because no sooner had George come out and mentioned that we're addicted to oil than his entire cadre of handlers had to come out. Ah, he's just kidding.
Right.
And the Saudi oil minister came out and said, well, you know, if you try to do any, you know, if you try to do green things, you'll make things more miserable for other people.
Do you think just the fact that we used to be an oil exporter as a country and now we're one of the world's leading importers, if not still the leading importer, would mean something to people, but apparently it doesn't?
Well, again, it's that national ADD, Richard. It might mean something if you could sit them down and talk to them about it, but how many million people does the American Family Association appeal to? They just had their knickers in a twist in an absolute uproar frenzy over a scene from inside a strip club on the NBC series Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I was telling my wife about the clip you had of the widow from the mine disaster making the point of that a mining company had paid less in fines for security violations that probably cost people's lives than CBS did for showing a breast on national TV.
That made me want to get all Old Testament and tear at my hair, rend my garments, and sit in sackcloth and ashes. Honest to God, it did.
I hear you. All right, well, I'm going to leave
Richard,
you here and go fix my wife a Valentine dinner.
Well, I tell you what, give her our kindest regards, and I hope we'll be hearing from you again.
Absolutely. Have a good night.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. So we kind of got to take a break here. Agnes is doing the Shiva, the seven-handed goddess thing right now. But we got to take a break. We'll come back, if only because I got to get ice for the big orange. I mean, you know how it works here. Got a really kind note from our buddy Larry in Cannonsburg, PA. He said, listening to Americans preaching restraint and compassion warms my heart. You are, in my opinion, the modern-day Thomas Paine. That's tall order, Larry. But that, he says, that's high praise from me. Keep kicking ass, buddy. I'm at your service. And what can I say? I'm at all of yours. If nothing else, if we keep talking, we'll figure it out. Nobody ever solved anything in silence. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so 23 minutes before the hour, and a last chance to get a couple of licks in if you want to. The number, of course, 877-443-2366. This is the little nightly dust-up we like to call Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's go straight to the phones. Our good buddy Joe Vecchio is with us. Hey, Joe, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm okay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Your last caller was very intelligent.
Yes.
I liked him a lot. You guys had a great little conversation going there.
I got the best job in the world, you know?
Oh, man. Well, I was looking at this Cheney thing, and, you know, like you mentioned earlier, I kind of took a sabbatical yesterday, just kept away from everything, because, you listen to it, and you watch it, and you read it. You know, it's kind of like watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
And after a while, you just got to say, enough is enough. I just need to stop and smell the roses or whatever for a day.
Right.
And all this stuff going on, I was thinking of something I was thinking of several years ago, where I thought if Bush got up and did a press conference and called a member of the media up with him and pulled out a gun and shot the guy right in plain sight,
yeah,
the media would be out there singing his praises, like, oh, it was such a bold move. No president's ever done anything that important before.
It's, in any other time, that would have been political satire. It would have been comedy. It would have been funny. It ain't funny anymore, Joe.
And you know, the thing about it is, and Digby and some of the other people have been pointing this out. Yeah, it's not just that. I mean, they're lying because that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, they're all about, this is what we want, and we'll get it no matter how. What we have to do to get it, okay? But it's supposed to be the professional media, the so-called professional media, as I always call them, in this country is supposed to keep us abreast on what's going on and supposed to report the BS for what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, supposed to report stuff and not just let the BS run them. I should have said it that way. And what we have is a press that is clearly, and not just trying to be fair and balanced, but clearly tilted towards the right wing and to Mr. Bush in particular, allowing him to get away with stuff no president would ever dream of being able to get away with. And I think a lot of it is just the salaries that these people make that they're tied down to. It's almost, you know, slavery is a chain on both ends.
It's not a function of brains, Joe. Honest to God, it's not a function of brains. I know that. It's got to be the money or the martinis or the, you know, the 4 o'clock heroin on Friday, because it's not about the brains. I mentioned it last night. I had an absolute hissy when the Kelly Wallace told Frederica Whitfield on Sunday on CNN that Mr. Whittington had been hit with with birdshot. I think that's hunter language for the kind of bullets they use.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They're doing everything they can to downplay it. I mean, the next thing, you know, like you mentioned earlier, they'll say he hit him with a water gun. You know, meanwhile, the guy's in intensive care, and he may die. And, you know, he's what, 78 years old? So
yeah, and honest to God, this morning, ABC News said it was a pellet gun.
Yeah. You know, and I think one of the things that we have to do when we finally start to really gain a massive voice, because we're really only in the embryonic stage. The blogosphere doesn't understand that yet. They think they were a lot more powerful than they really are, although that can be a good thing because it makes them yell louder. But what they don't understand is that they really don't have any control of the message as it's going out. And by yelling and screaming the same way the right used to yell and scream at, you know, the so-called liberal media, one of the things I think we need to do is we need to play it like the press is an accomplice in the crimes of this administration. And if we get back into power, we are going to hold them accountable just as much as the administration, because they're either too incompetent to be news people, or they, you know, they're going to be tried along with them as the criminals that they are, because they're responsible for the murders of the tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis and Afghanis, all the false imprisonments, the torture, all of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things that we've missed by being all wrapped up in Cheney and the dude who shot his wife and all that crap is this. It's the Iraqi version of the Rodney King video. Have you seen this thing, Joe?
I heard about it. I haven't seen the video, but
I've seen it. It's British military guys coming through a wall. They come through the wall. There's British military. There are unarmed, unarmored, undefended, defenseless Iraqi civilians, and they just lay into them with truncheons, and they get them on the ground, and they keep beating them with the truncheons, and they're stomping them with the boots.
There's something seriously wrong with, well, usually I would say Americans, but these are Brits, but when you get people in those situations, there's something seriously wrong with this. There was an article in the New York Times over the weekend about how fights and gunfights in this country are breaking out over the most useless things, over things that wouldn't even have warranted a fist fight 15 years ago. People are pulling out guns and just shooting people. That's through the roof. You know, there's a crime wave like that through the roof of violent deaths like that. We're an angry nation, and we're letting the darker side of our natures take over. And we do it, you know, by electing this administration and just by allowing these sort of things to happen. And we don't really have a vent for our anger. You know, the people who up there are so powerful, they figure, you know, what can we do about it? And so everybody's lives are more miserable, and just things get worse and worse, and these sort of things are just going to happen some more. And that's, you know, that's one of the things you see. These British guys, these soldiers that were out there for, I don't know how long they were out there, but you know, they're just going to take some revenge. Here they are stuck in this godforsaken place, and I guess they're just going to go in there and crack some heads.
And it's just the damage that it does. If there was any goodwill involved with Iraq, and I don't know how any goodwill could survive the massacre of 100,000 civilians, just honest to God.
Well, if we had been that noble in the first place, we never would have gotten in there.
No.
You know, and we're not. There's a part of America that is very noble, because, you know, how we treated Germany and Japan after World War II was an act of incredible nobility on our part.
And it was a throwback to the Abraham Lincoln theory of with malice toward none and with charity toward all.
Right. And
that's gone. That's over.
It's been gone. And part of it is just because of all the money and power that we now have. Because before World War II, America was strong, but it wasn't a world power. At least it wasn't the only major superpower. And after that, we became that, and now we're getting a taste of what success does to nations. And it basically destroys them, as we've talked about before in ancient history. So many other countries have been victims of this in history. And we think we're unique, we think we're alone, but we're not.
Well, and the only people who think that, though, are the people who are absolutely blindly and deliberately and willfully ignorant of the march of history.
Or just, and just aware of the world that they've lived in. You know, you talk about Bush being in a bubble, but we all live in our own little bubbles.
Yeah, unless we're determined not to.
Right, and it takes a very special type of person to break out of that. And that's why, you know, liberals are such different thinkers. The difference between liberals and conservatives in this sense, or at least the people calling themselves conservatives now, is that liberals want to build political systems and things that will last beyond their lifetimes, whereas the people who are in charge now are only thinking of their immediate gain and for what's going to happen within their lifetime. They're not concerned about what happens afterwards. They're not, you know, the reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why George Bush, they said, you know, how do you think history's going to judge you? And you know what he said, Joe.
Yeah.
He said,
I don't know
if there's going to be a history.
That's right. We'll be dead. What do we care? And all they care about is, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. So they're going out and getting all the money and all the toys and all the power they can. And what happens afterwards? Well, you know, it's not our concern. It's just not our concern.
Oh, God.
And unfortunately, for a lot of people, that's a very compelling attitude. It's like the movie Goodfellas. You ever see Goodfellas?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people who look at it and think, boy, these guys live a glamorous lifestyle. You know, they do what they want. They take, you know, if they need money, they just rob it. And, you know, they're tough guys. And, they look at all the great food they eat and the great clothes they wear and all the money they have. But there's a price you pay for that.
Yeah, and it frequently involves ball bats, tire irons,
sure.
You know.
Gun to your head, you know, you got to watch your back constantly. And these guys just take this kind of gangsterism to a very, very high level. And they're all very good at it. They're great at getting power. They just don't know what to do with it once they've got it, except to grab more of it.
More of it, yeah.
And, you know, the whole Cheney incident is just a perfect example of how they run things. They're blaming the older guy, and they're lying about it. They're delaying it. I'm getting some information from some other sources that I'm going to put on my blog pretty soon, as soon as I get feedback from some other people I'm talking to about some of Mr. Cheney's former activities as far as hunting is concerned.
Well, apparently that's the thing. I heard this one remark about the business on the Maryland shore, and they said he's a maniac with a gun.
Hmm.
You know, there's nothing new in this. I mean, it's got to be a dangerous situation when you release, I mean, what they did in Latrobe, PA, release a net full of quail or pheasant or whatever, and stand there and just blaze away. That cannot be safe. It just can't.
Well, you know, when you're not really concerned with anybody but yourself, you tend not to think about who you're aiming at accidentally or otherwise.
Oh, God, it's so true.
You know, I have a lot of eclectic likes. I couldn't think of the right word for it. A radio guy can't think of the right word for something. I like a lot of TV shows, and I like a lot of old stuff. There was a television series in Japan, a science fiction series, and basically in this particular future, it was possible for someone to get a mechanical body and basically be immortal. But you had to be very, very wealthy in order to be able to afford this. But, you know, the very rich and powerful went ahead and got these bodies, which, of course, enabled them to increase their wealth over time. And what they started to do, just for sheer pleasure, because their lives were so boring, is hunt humans. And that's what they did. And they would put them up on, like we do with deer racks. They would put their heads up on the walls, all the people they shot.
That may not be so far in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, and
I mean, are we hunting humans in Iraq?
Yeah, I guess we are. If you look at what was that another video clip? It shows those security people just driving along and shooting cars.
Yeah, it's a video game. It's a video game.
And you know that all starts with just making these people not human, and that's what they do. They dehumanize them.
Well, you know, the people that were driving along and shooting cars. You and I come from. I mean, we actually went through a childhood that didn't involve video games. These guys didn't.
Right.
Everything in their existence has been geared toward learning how to do this kind of crap.
And they don't understand, you know, real consequences, or maybe they understand it all too well. That's the scary part.
Yeah, and they just don't care.
And they just don't care. And those are the type of people you're seeing out in Iraq right now. It's become a magnet for the worst sorts of people, whether you're talking about Islamic terrorists or mercenaries? Or...
Yeah, well, yeah, a significant portion of these 50,000 mercenaries that we have in Iraq are old, unreconstructed anti-apartheid enforcers and death squad members from Central America.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something that should appeal to, again, back to Lincoln, the better angels of our nature.
Is Negroponte still in charge over there to a certain extent? Is he still there?
No, he got demoted upstairs. Negroponte is now in charge of all intelligence in the United States.
See, and that's the scary part. And this guy was a convicted felon before he got, you know, put into the Bush administration. You know, all these people talking about they want to have, you know, the most moral and the most, you know, clean government around, and they're already picking people for important posts that are convicted felons. And, you know, that in itself should have started, you know, sending smoke signals up. But when you have a press that doesn't care, and you got guys like, you know, Chris Matthews giggling on TV about how weak the Democrats are, you know, and, you know, spreading lies about how Democrats took money from Jack Abramoff, which is a complete and total lie, you know, that's what you're going to get. Now, if they had been doing the proper reporting in the first place, these things would not have happened. If the reports from the 2000 election had been any different, then maybe we would have had Al Gore in there, and maybe we wouldn't have had a lot of this stuff.
I can't imagine an Iraq war with Al Gore
at
the helm.
No, I can't. And I'm wondering if, under Mr. Gore, at the very least, we might not have had a 9-11, because he would have taken the intelligence seriously enough to have done something about it. We know for a fact that Bill Clinton did stop a major terrorist attack on the L.A. airport in 2000.
That's right.
And it really wasn't that difficult to do. All you had to do was have a little intelligence and pay attention to it.
And by the same token, we also know that the first World Trade Center attack, that was March of 1993. It was barely in office. And that whole thing was hatched while the first Bush was busy ignoring the business of the nation.
Same with Somalia, and they blame Clinton on Somalia, too. And it was Bush, and it was Powell that put those guys in. Actually, it was Bush that put the guys in there, and Powell who refused to send in reinforcements. And, you know, and then, of course, they blamed Clinton for that. He had been in office, what, all of 2 or 3 months when that happened?
Yeah.
And the first WTC thing happened not long after that, too.
Right.
And, you know, it was all set up by the Bush people before that. It's the same group, and it's the same crowd. You know, what was the one article I read? It was almost as if they believed when they got into office in 2000 that none of the 8 years had happened. Nothing had happened in those 8 years. They were just going to pick up where they left off.
And throw those 8 years down the memory hole.
That's right. And unfortunately, the world was a much different place in 1992 or in 2000 than it was in 1992. There was a huge difference in what was going on in those 8 years. And they refused to see that because they had their eyes on this, you know, Pax Americana nonsense.
Oh.
And, you know, but I think in the long run, and speaking as a liberal, I look in terms of the long run. I think that if this country does go down, and this could bring it down, this administration and what follows it could bring it down. I'm talking about as far as an international power is concerned.
Yeah.
I think in the long run that will be a good thing. I think we need to finally end the era of nation states and bring about some sort of semblance of a single global political organization. But the question
is, I can understand that, Joe, but I'm afraid that that's not what happens if we fall. You know, because if we fall, it's going to involve, for instance, the Chinese and the better part of Europe calling in a whole bunch of bad debt.
Well, maybe they'll be as magnanimous with us as we were with Europe. And maybe we can hope that, you know, Winston Churchill prayed that the new world would come in and save the old. And maybe we can just pray that the old world will return the favor. You know?
I tell you, it's a scary future. Like I said, I get these weirdo wingnut alerts in my email box, Joe, and one of them came from some Newsmax analyst who said, you know, so-and-so noted investor is betting... It was Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has just made a $16 billion bet that the dollar is going to continue to fail over the next 3 years and fail badly. We agree with him, and we're encouraging you to invest the blah, 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 because the dollar is going to continue to fail.
God, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of a board meeting during the first Bush administration where one of the guys at a cabinet meeting was bragging about how the value of American workers had fallen, and that meant good news in the sense that they could demand more productivity out of them. And the first Bush apparently was like horrified at that idea. So we don't want this idea of American workers not earning enough to be good for the country in the whole. We want it to be good for everybody. I mean, you know, the first Bush was an SOB, but he wasn't as bad as his son is.
No,
you know, I'm feeling like we're looking at Caligula or Nero more.
Caligula. I think Caligula is the perfect example, because, you know, he came in, he was beloved of the people, and then in short order he became a monster who was their abject enemy.
And the real difference is that Bush generally likes to go and get into bed before 9 o'clock and where all the orgies are starting.
Oh God, I know. Yeah, and on the other hand, you know, Nero gets a bad rap because he turned a bunch of early Christians into streetlights on the Appian Way.
He made him scapegoats, and of course the Christians have returned the favor. Once they took over the Roman Empire, the Christians are helping us return the favor years and years after that.
Well, exactly, but it must be remembered that Nero said, and it was true, I found Rome a city of wood, and I left her a city of stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why he burned half of it down. He had a nice little real estate venture going there, and he wanted to take good advantage of it.
But with these monsters in the Bush administration, Joe, there's no way that you can say that anything they have done has made America in any way stronger, better, wiser, richer, none of it.
Well, but you'd have a hard time convincing the cult members of that, and that's what this is a personality cult. What was it that Digby said? He said, a conservative is a conservative as long as he continues to agree with the platform of other conservatives until he doesn't, in which case he's a liberal.
Yeah, well, you know, when you've got, and this was at the header of, I believe, BartCop.com today, when you got people like Tom Tancredo, who was a freak in his own right, congressman from Colorado, Tom Tancredo said, you know, look, conservatives are standing in abject, aghast horror at what the Bush administration has done. Because, and this is what it is, there is an element of the so-called conservative movement that is trying to get the hell away from George Bush so that they can say, well, you know, conservatism is still the way America is really going to work best. But it went wrong this time. He wasn't really conservative.
They say that all the time. I mean, you know, when they almost destroyed the country in the 20s, like you mentioned earlier, they tried to say, oh, those really weren't conservatives. And, you know, the McCarthy hearings, oh, those weren't really conservative. I heard Bob Barr got booed at a speech where he suggested that, you know, Bush ought to be, you know, obey the law just like everybody else.
Yeah, he's persona non grata now. Joe, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the conversation.
Take care, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye.
And for those of you on hold, I sincerely apologize. I get involved in, it's conversation radio. And, try again tomorrow night and we'll get back with you. I'm sorry. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my Valentine, Agnes.
Aww.
And it was announced by our good friend Brian Reznor, the studio setup engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream to this program as well as the archives of this and many other wonderful liberal programs. He's got a fundraiser going right now. By all means, do the right thing by Ben, because he won't send you a bill. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Remember that.